Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. You'll find the full details at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story, the legend, I should say, of the Buddhist monk from China who, some people think, discovered Oregon 1,600 years ago. It was first published on March 13th, 2011, under the headline, Did Buddhist Monk from China Discover Oregon 1,600 Years Ago? Here's the story. There's an ancient Chinese story about a monk named Hui Shan who, just about the same time that the Western Roman Empire was collapsing, set out on the open waters of the Pacific in search of new lands in which to spread his Buddhist faith. According to this legend, after many months of sailing east, the monks made landfall in a strange place, a place that may actually have been Oregon. Hui Shan told his story in roughly the year 499, and either he or someone else wrote it down. According to this account, with other Buddhist monks, he had embarked in a junk, the standard Chinese sailing vessel of the day, invented about 200 years before, and sailed due east into the rising sun. He estimated they'd sailed about 20,000 li, which is a Chinese unit of measurement, and I'm not sure how long one is, when they finally arrived at a place they called Fusang. Hui Shan's description of Fusang reads a bit like an early version of a vision of utopia, a good argument for being a bit skeptical. The people in Fusang, he relates, have a particular tree or plant, the Fusang tree, that supplies their every need. They eat its sprouts like bamboo shoots. It bears red pear-shaped fruits that keep for an entire year in cool storage. Its bark supplies fiber that's woven into clothing and made into paper. And yes, the society he describes is literate, with its own system of writing. The holy man then goes on to describe the sociology of the place. Quote, "The people have no weapons and they make no war," he recounts, as translated by Charles Leland in 1875. "No iron is found in this land, but copper, gold, and silver are not prized and do not serve as a medium of exchange in the market." Also, there are two prisons, a northerly one and a southerly one, maximum and minimum security, respectively. In the northerly prison, quote, "Those men and women who are imprisoned for life are allowed to marry," the account goes. "The boys resulting from these marriages were, at the age of 8 years, sold as slaves, the girls not until their 9th year. The people of Fusang have most of the livestock known in China, but use them somewhat differently, according to the report. Stags are used here as cattle are in the Middle Kingdom, and from the milk of the hind they make butter. Also, the horns of the oxen are so large that they hold 10 bushels, Hui Shan's report adds. They use them to contain all manner of things. After this rather fantastic account of Fusang, the monk goes on to describe another land he visited. A land of pale women with very hairy bodies who have no breasts, but rather suckle their young on particularly long clumps of hair. There are no men in this place. When they want to become pregnant, the women bathe in a magic river. Well, certainly it's impossible to buy Hui Shan's story at face value, especially after reading his account of the land of women, in which he rather jumps the shark, as the saying goes. And the myth of the faraway people who know nothing of violence and strife is almost a universal human cliché. But this story is 1,600 years old. Is there any possibility that it's based, at least in part, on some truth? Could a Chinese sailing vessel have made it to the Oregon coast, or any place on this continent, and made it back home again? Well, sailing to Oregon from China is certainly possible, given a little luck and the right kind of weather. Every year, hundreds of glass fishing floats make it across the Pacific, courtesy of a current that runs this way from Mosi off Japan. And in fact, in 1833, Japanese sailing ship wrecked at Cape Flattery on what's now the coast of Washington. At the time, it was part of the Oregon Territory. Three of its sailors were rescued by the British and taken to Fort Vancouver. They ended up going home via Europe, completely circumnavigating the globe in the process. Sailing back to China to tell the tale would be trickier. The prevailing winds off Oregon and Washington typically come out of the southwest, which is great for coming this way, not so hot for going back. But if the monks moved down the coast to Mexico before disembarking, they would find the situation reversed as far as the wind is concerned, so it is theoretically possible. The story of Hui Shan's adventures reads a little bit like Homer's Odyssey, and like the Odyssey, there's probably a kernel of true history in it somewhere, buried deep beneath centuries of distortions and additions from thousands of scribes and storytellers through the years. If all the fantasy could be stripped away, if we could somehow forensically reconstruct the real story of Hui Shan and his fellow monks, there is an actual possibility that we would be crediting him and not that Christopher Columbus guy or Leif Erikson, or even the Basques with the quote-unquote discovery of the Americas in general and of Oregon in particular. Well, that's it for today's episode, and if you are listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. Complete history of about 190, maybe 195 columns, going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed, in case you'd like to join the conversation. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story, which in today's case include works by Charles Leland and James Andrew Long. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. If you're going to be in Corvallis anytime soon, drop me a line so we can grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. This podcast is proudly offered under a Creative Commons license. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. And that is it for today. In coming attractions, tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Oregon Electric Line, the railroad line that ran and connected the top end of the valley to the bottom end of the valley just in time for the automobile to be invented and just basically take the ground out from under it. But for the few years that it was running, it was sure pretty awesome. So look for that after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And in the meantime, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.